So let's hear a C major chord and a C minor chord just so we can hear the difference. Okay, Thopi? C major is often used in a classical happy song way. It's part of many pop songs that are having us dance around, celebrate. And a minor scale is often how a musician will express sadness, but not necessarily. It can be a way to express change. C major and C minor, as we're hearing, have different qualities for us, different tones. Into the Unknown is a Disney franchise song from the movie Frozen 2. I know this song intimately because my young child came of age when the movie was in Cineplex. Into the Unknown has this fantastic octave, which is very safe, and then it pushes boundaries by going past the octave. So the C to the higher C, and then way beyond, pushing boundaries into the actual unknown. I'm Tanya Sleiman, producer, director, and writer of the film 95 Lives. Today, I'm wearing my podcast hat. Audio engineer wizard Thopi and I are creating some new things to share in this audio space with you. I began my film project on Helen Levitt in 2009, and a few years later, I found myself pregnant. The movie Frozen 1 was out when I was pregnant, but didn't yet know that I had a human growing inside. I mention this because when I did later know that I was pregnant, and I had not yet heard anything about Frozen, my child was kicking inside at the culminating Let It Go song in a shop. I was buying some things, and this song was on the radio, and I did not know what it was, but my child seemed to really respond. This was very unusual. Let It Go is a very powerful ballad in which the character in Frozen is realizing she's going to rebel against being a proper person, and she's going to try her own path. I always remember that moment because I went home and tried to learn what the song was and saw that it had been translated into almost 100 languages. This was obviously a big worldwide hit. Little did I know that a few years later, I would be spending American Thanksgiving with my child and her best friends from school watching Frozen 2 on the big screen. The pandemic of coronavirus was just a few months away. We also didn't know that our lives were about to change. My partner and I had made a decision that we were ready to have a family together. It was a very easy decision for us. We were comfortable, we wanted to be together, and we wanted to start a family. The female characters in the film that I'm working on had very different lives than what I was living in 2013. 100 years prior, in New York, Helen Levitt and her friend Alma grew up in places where there still wasn't running water in parts of New York, where Jewish people were still discriminated against, where Blacks and Irish were often discriminated against in terms of housing. I had none of these challenges. I had secure housing, a kind partner, and a desire to become a mother. As a director, I'm drawn to character portraits of really interesting people who seem ordinary but go through extraordinary changes. I believe it tells us a lot about the human condition, love and loss, migration, change, hope. The film 95 Lives centers on the artist Helen Levitt and her circle of friends. Today, I'm going to be talking about one of her very close friends, Alma Agee, a talented musician born to a Viennese Jewish woman who married a Jewish American peddler. Alma always saw her heritage as being refined from Europe. She played the violin in string quartets in the nearby university town. And then one day, she decided she was ready to try life in the big city, and she moved to New York City. New York in the late 1930s was a place where you could see Charlie Chaplin and Big Boy Williams double features. Roast corn vendors on the streets, 10-cent haircuts, the Lindy Hop in the clubs, the four-on-the-floor beat, and the sounds of the city in the summer, children playing, jump rope. There were bread and cheese stores, kosher butchers, newsstands, new ethnic restaurants, it was quite different than the rural countryside near Canada, where Alma had grown up. She moved in the late 1930s with a girlfriend of hers from upstate New York. And there, she found a new friend, Helen Levitt, who had befriended her old friend, Jim Agee, from upstate days. Alma Agee and her friends loved to dance, loved to go out to jazz clubs in the West Village where they lived in New York City. She was a bohemian in a good way. She was free-spirited, she was musical. She lacked structure. She didn't know how to cook. She often burned potatoes. She was described as beautiful with long black hair and someone that really engaged everybody when she talked with them. I imagine her as a young woman in New York trying her best not to fall in love with James Agee, a married man, but yet love strikes where love strikes, and she falls in love with a married man. And they shack up together in New Jersey in a country house because he wants to write his great big manuscript. He's trying to change all the rules for American writing. Helen Levitt, her friend, is trying to change the rules of photography. And Alma's happy to try to learn how to make potatoes, buy a baby goat to keep herself company, take long rides in the country at midnight in the cornfields, and then come into the big city for fun. James Agee doesn't yet divorce his first wife, but Alma becomes pregnant. And soon, the bohemian ways don't make sense to her anymore. There's a change. She feels it in her body, in her bones. She has a new life to protect. The bohemian ways of staying up at night and writing and playing music and piano don't make sense to her anymore. She has to worry about a child. She marries James Agee. She thinks he might be able to rise to the occasion and become a father, just as she's rising to the occasion to become a mother. But it's not working out. He seeks a new lover. She feels betrayed. She and her friend Helen decide to leave New York and go to Mexico. They take the suggestion of a friend and they look up some folk that they can find and they take a boat in April, leaving the harbor of New York. Her former lover, her husband, James Agee, crying as she says goodbye to him with their now one-year-old child. Joel is on the boat with Helen Levitt taking pictures. They make a stop in Cuba, and they land in Mexico. Alma wants something better for herself. Just as she'd left upstate country New York to move to the big city, now she's ready to say goodbye to her former husband, bye to New York, and try something into the unknown. Into Mexico, pushing boundaries beyond the octave of safety, into a new space. She wrote a memoir, and this is now a quote where she describes what it feels like to leave New York. From almost the moment that the boat started to move, I was looking ahead. Thinking events on the boat, the baby, the approaching meal, and even Mexico, that strange country where I had never been. Jim and my life in New York became almost immediately of the past. And so I believe it is whenever one finds oneself moving forward, another place, city, or country, there is a moment when the past is gone, and the future becomes a part of one's living almost before it is there. The sea air, the roar of the boat's engine, the bustle of the crew, the other passengers all seem to work together to give me a new and unexpected interest, even excitement, as I suddenly became awake. And when Helen and I went with the baby for our first meal on board, I discovered to my amazement that I was hungry, and I ate well for the first time in many months. It's 1941 when Helen and Alma and baby Joel leave New York and go to Mexico. Both women, Jewish American, smart, intuitive, attractive. One, Helen, found it very difficult to work and live in Mexico. The other, Alma, never went back to America. She ended up falling in love again waiting many years to divorce Jim officially, raised her kid in Mexico and then Germany. Whereas for Helen Levitt, it was a very interesting time in her artistic career. She had just begun to find her path in the New York of the 10-cent haircuts and the street kids and the rhythm and the pulse of life. In 2 years, she would have her first solo show at the Museum of Modern Art in New York, but she had not yet found her complete style. The time in Mexico was a great way for her to see how to make lyrical poetry of the everyday photos, but to know that she needed to go back home to New York City to make that work. One of my favorite images she took in the time she lived in Mexico in 1941 is rather humorous. It's a giant cactus, an agave cactus, and it's being used as a laundry space. Someone found a good way to hook on the sharp edges of the cactus a giant bedsheet. And Helen Levitt's framing of this is very different than many of the photographers of the day who exoticized the cactus or made it even something sexual and sensual. Here's a cactus that she found a way of having humor, like a mystery. What's beyond this bedsheet? Why is it on a cactus? Combining the interior space with the exterior space was something she loved to do. Kids playing in public, lives lived in public, but often a very interior emotional space of joy or pain, neighborly friends coming together. These are the subjects of her photographs. And in Mexico, there was distance. Both women, Alma and Helen Levitt, went to find something in the unknown. And for Helen, it was confirmation that she wanted to get back to New York. After that trip, she never left the United States again. And Alma found a new path, a new way forward into a new unknown.